All right, we're here on the New Hampshire Confession of Faith that we have as a church and was adopted at the church's beginning. We are on this article of Article 12 of the Harmony of the Law and the Gospel, and this second point that the law of God is holy, just, and good. Okay, we've gone through all the verses here. We've come to Psalm 119, and we just want to take a look at this psalm and we touched upon it and mentioned some things again regarding it. In Psalm 119, and there's also copies up here on the front pew about how it is in the Hebrew, that this psalm is busted up into sections of 8 verses each according to the Hebrew alphabet, each section. And in the Hebrew, each section starts and begins with that that Hebrew letter. And of course, the Hebrew is written right to left, not like we read left to right. And so there's sheets up here that'll show you about that and the Hebrew alphabet, also how it compares to the Greek alphabet and the letters that we would use to describe their letters or characters. And so when this is translated into English, some of its poetic and rhyming and whatever is at hand there is kind of lost. But one thing that does come through is this focus upon God's Word. I think that that's how it can be summarized, as God's Word, referred to in different words, but all pointing to what God has said, what God has declared. And this chapter, this psalm, is filled with references to that which God has spoken. And so here in Psalm 119, we see eight words that are used referring to the word of the Lord. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, verse 1, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. And we understand laws. Well, our land has laws. We're going away from that. And there is a multiplicity of laws trying to do things that could already be done with the laws that are on the book. But this is the law is what it's the dividing line between doing right and evil, doing good and doing bad, being at fault against the authority. And God is the ultimate authority. Here in verse number 2 is testimonies and a witness. Okay, that's a good word to remember about testimony. The Lord has given a witness about some things. And so blessed are they that keep his testimonies or his witness about different issues in life and what the Lord says, and that seek him with the whole heart. You desire the Lord with your heart? We should desire to know all we can about our Lord and to follow him. They also do no iniquity that are walking his ways. Okay, and so ways is a word here that refers to what the Lord has said. Okay, the Lord has a way of doing things. Our Lord Jesus, he became a man, and therefore, being God, having become a man, he is the example for men. He walked away, didn't he? He did. So his ways are included in that. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Verse 4, thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And so this word precepts, it's a mandate. There's things that are mandated by the Lord. There's a precepts, a way of operation that God has said that this is the way it should be amongst mankind. Another way of saying what the Lord has said and how he's directed or where he's set bounds. Verse number 5, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. And so the statutes are talking about bounds, okay, that are there. We have reference, I was thinking about this here recently, about the in our law, the law of our land, there's statutes of limitation. See, limitation. Bound speaks about that. In our land, if someone commits a particular kind of crime, they can only be tried for that crime in a certain amount of time. Now, for murder, there's no bound, okay? But the Lord sets boundaries, doesn't he? And oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed, verse 6, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Okay, and the Ten Commandments, right? The law, the ordinance of the Lord. He has declared that. The Lord Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. He's got some commandments, some things that he has given. Verse number 7, I will praise thee with the uprightness, with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And so the judgments, the verdicts of the Lord. And we looked into the scripture here recently about the verdict that the Lord decreed upon Sodom and Gomorrah and those other cities round about her because of her wickedness and sin. Where the crime is told and the penalty for such is declared. There's judgments of the Lord in that, and he is the all-righteous judge. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, verse 7, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Lord, I need you. And that's we need the Lord, don't we? In every way, we need him. Oh, don't forsake us, Lord. And he's promised for his children that he will not. But we need to know that we need the Lord, and we need to tell him, and we need to thank him for that, and declare unto him, as the psalmist did. And as we look historically, it's attributed to Ezra. Forsake me not utterly. If I don't have you, Lord, I'm in trouble. Put me not away. And there is no losing of salvation by that is given by the Lord. It is eternal life. But we need the Lord's help in day-to-day life. We need our Lord's help in living for him. We need our Lord's help in learning about him and pursuing him and worshiping him. We need him. Verse number 9, the last word of 8, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word, what the Lord has said. So we have these 8 words that describe, that are used here in this psalm: law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. We go on to verse number 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. You know, now we look at this. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's been times that I've not sought the Lord that way. But I think the psalmist, he declares here, that's his desire. He wants to. He wants to, and we need to pursue that. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He knows he's subject to. Our life with our Lord is not just here on 2 days a week. Our life with our Lord is every day, every hour, every minute. And we need to seek him with the whole heart and not wonder from his commandments. And help us, Lord, not to wonder from your commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Can you say that? Can you say that? We just sang that song tonight that refers to that verse. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. There's instruction in that. We need to hide our Lord's word in our heart, that we not sin against him. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Teach me those bounds. Right? Teach me those bounds, Lord. I need to know. You know, we say it. It's said often. It's that way with us. Different ones teach and preach, and we look into the word of the Lord, and then we say, oh, I never saw that like that before that happened. We need the Lord to do that for us. With verse 13, with my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. We speak what our Lord has, what he has said, those judgments, those verdicts that he has said. You know, we don't stand against wickedness of our own thought, but of what the Lord has declared. I have rejoiced, verse 14, in the way of thy testimonies. Well, the witness of the Lord, right? As much as in all riches. The testimony of the Lord, well, the witness of the Lord is what's true. It, as this psalm will tell us, it's what gives life. It grants life. It directs unto life. Verse 15, I will meditate. Our culture and our technology works against this. It does. That there's just not time to meditate because we always want to be busy. I mean, most all of us have something like this. And most every waking moment is here. We're doing some kind of business or looking up some kind of thing or some thought, or we're checking this or we're doing that or whatever. And we need to meditate upon our Lord's word. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. We need to meditate upon what our Lord has given, what he said, and those bounds and such as that. I will delight, verse 16, myself in thy statutes. In thy statutes, in those bounds, again, that you have set. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. He's making a commitment to that. I'm not going to forget what you've said. I'm not going to commit. Brother Asaph, as we have seen recently, I think maybe at the nursing home, I took a look at that. Brother Asaph in the Psalms, he had a time he forgot what God said in his word. And then he said, when I went back to the house of the Lord, then I knew the end of the wicked. I knew what their end was. He heard the word of the Lord again. Verse 17, here in the third group of eight verses. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Lord, I want to keep your word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I talked about Sunday about just reading the Bible by rote. But you know, we need to do more than read it by rote. We need to take it and put it together. Get the interconnections together. Ask the Lord to speak to us from his word and teach us things and teach us how things work together. Look in the New Testament for those Old Testament references. And when those come about, go chase those to learn those accounts in the Old Testament that we might bring them up there to the new, that we might fully understand what our Lord has given us. That's what we need. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. This being part of the word of God, do you believe that there are wondrous things in the law of the Lord? I mean, that gives us the hint that there are wondrous things to behold. I am a stranger, verse 19 in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. I need to know your law, Lord. I need to know your ordinance for my life. Verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. You know, some of these verses are condemning to me. They're condemning. I must admit, I don't have times where my soul breaks for the longing for the word of the Lord. And so may we be reproved and rebuked by the word of God too. The judgments of the Lord, his verdicts against things. You know, he is the revenger. He is the avenger. And we need to know that. And we need to know about his judgments. We need to long for his judgments. You know, for the child of God looking to the Lord Jesus Christ to come, you know, I don't think it's given unto us to enjoy the destruction of the wicked. But we should look forward and look forward to our Lord being glorified and taking the position that he's been given of the Father as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It will bring the destruction of them, but we don't rejoice in that, but we rejoice in our Lord being lifted up. Then the judgments of the Lord. You know, there's a lot of things that are upside down. I wish the Lord would come and straighten it out. You see what I'm saying? You know, and I think that's maybe what that's talking about. Verse 21, thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. They disobey. And in disobeying, there is a curse indeed. Verse 22, remove from me reproach and contempt. Take that away from me, Lord, for I have kept thy testimonies, that your testimonies, your witness. You know, but there will be contempt and reproach that will come upon us for the cause of Christ. Oh, we're told as much. But you know, one day when our Lord comes, we will be relieved of that. See how it is that the truth of God's word, many of these verses speak about the same things and same things that are told and mentioned in the New Testament. Because they've always been. It has always been. Those that identified with the Lord, those that followed the Lord, they were found in reproach and contempt of those in authority. Look at Joseph. Is he not of the lineage of David? What's he doing living in Nazareth? What's he doing living in Nazareth? He's of the kingly line, as an example. But and he was a man that was, I believe, that was faithful to the Lord. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Verse 23, princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. There's even aspects here of this, of the Old Testament scriptures, as the New Testament scriptures speak to us, that tell us that the Old Testament scriptures, even this, is prophetic. It's prophetic, isn't it? Our Lord Jesus is an example of all of these, and but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. I mean, Herod said things about Jesus, and the rulers of his time said things about Jesus. The leaders of the nation, the religious leaders, spoke evil against him, and he was filled, is filled. He is so much full of the Word that he's called, one of his names is the Word. And we need to be like him. The last verse of this section, thy testimonies, thy witness also are my delight and my counselors. A counselor advises one on the way to go. And you know what? You know, everything that the Lord's given, the commandment, the word, the testimonies, all that that God has given to mankind never brings mankind lower. It always is a help. We think, naturally, we think, and that's even what Adam and Eve, the woman in the garden, thought, God's holding out on me. God's holding out that good fun thing. God's holding out on me. God wasn't holding out anything, was he? And the Lord doesn't hold out on us. And what he instructs us in is true. Verse 25, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Lord, I need life. And again, salvation is eternal in the Lord. But sometimes we get low. I mean, soul cleaving to the dust is low, isn't it? We think about Brother Job. He got low. Think about Brother Jeremiah and all he took for the sake of the truth of standing for the Lord and being obedient to the Lord. He was low. Isn't it a wondrous thing to think that the Lord would give commandment or word concerning us? You know, we do have angels that watch over us. Amen. I believe that that's true. We have the ministering spirits of God that watch over and are used and directed by the Lord to help us. And when the Lord gives forth the unction, that gives forth the word to help his son, Jim Duke. Isn't that something? I've mentioned that about, they're talking about us in heaven. If you're a child of God, they're talking about us in heaven. Isn't that something? My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. Lord, say something. Do something to help me. I have declared my ways. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. We need to pray to our Lord. Brother Stephen's teaching about prayer in the scripture. We need the cause of our life and the way of our life, the things in life. We need to bring those to our Lord. And I've declared my ways and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Where I'm wrong, I want to be right. Where I'm wrong, I want to be helped. Well, Lord, where I line up with what you say, help in that thing of life. Make me to understand, verse 27, the way of thy precepts. Thy precepts. Thy mandates. Make me to understand them, the way of them. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Not to have fame for self, but to be a help and a minister to others. Amen? To be a witness. Wasn't the Lord Jesus a witness? He was a good witness of good things, wasn't he? And as children, we are, as his children, are called to be good witnesses of him. Verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. To thy word. For the child of God that'll take the Bible. You know, I've never taken the Bible and looked to the Bible and been brought lower by it. Have you? You know, you go, you're having a downtime, you're having a struggle, you're having, even having a good time. You go to the Word of God and it just makes you more depressed. No, the Word of God lifts us up. It does. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. Take lying away from me, Lord. We can be tempted to lie. The little white lie. Take away, remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. Lord, put it in me. Help me to remember when tempted and tried that I'd find that promised way of escape by obedience to you. That is the way of escape that we're promised. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. Your judgments, Lord, your verdicts, I've laid those before me. I want to go the way of truth. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, to be a witness of your witness. And that word testimony is speaking of witness. I have stuck unto thy witness. See, we can be tempted to say, I mean, the saints, the martyrs, this about the trail of blood and Brother Berlin's notes on the trail of blood. You know, it's all about that bloody trail of our forefathers standing for the simple but profound, eternal truth of God's word and what the Lord has given, namely regarding his church. Okay, and there were martyrs even before that. Hebrews tells us about that. But to stand for what the Lord says, his witness about a thing. And the thing is you know, understand, the Lord has given us what? What are the artifacts of our worship and service? Do we have to have a church building? Do we have to have pews? Have to have an organ? Have to have a piano? Have to have a pulpit? No, the artifacts of our worship and service are the Bible and the elements of the Lord's Supper and deep enough water to baptize in. Hear that? We don't need an association. We don't need a directive from somewhere else other than heaven. And you know, I'm not talking about, you know, we churches need to be organized correctly and come from other churches or the Lord's churches. And so standing for those things relative to just that have caused the death of our brethren in centuries and even millennia before. Because that was the witness that the Lord Jesus Christ gave, and they stood in it. And yet, just because they held on to what men would look on as being words, just a principle, they couldn't let it pass. It's kind of along the line of what's going on today. Things that have been established by God, have been in place for millennia, men are wanting to change, and they're not satisfied if you don't change with them. You and I don't change with them. They're not sad. They want to control the heart, the will. They want to control the freedom of the mind. They're not hindered by us and what wickedness they would do and pursue. Brother Mark and I were talking about that before services. They're not hindered. But see, they want more than that. They want everybody to bow to it. And that's the way it was with our brethren in regards to the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, in regards to his church and the doctrine that he's given the church and those things that make us the Baptist, those Baptist distinctives, those foundational things. They're just concepts. They're just principles. They're just words. They're more than that to us. But for that, our brethren stood for it, and it cost them their lives. They weren't out trying to take some some denominations' church building over. They weren't trying to take over the armies that they claimed to have. Our forebears didn't look to take up arms against the nations of the world. You see what I'm saying? It was just over words in a book given by, but it was the witness and testimony of God. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, verse 31. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments. I will run the way of thy commandments. Go that way when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Open me up. You know, David prayed that way, didn't he? That the Lord would purge him. That the Lord would wash him. The Lord would cleanse him. That the Lord would reveal unto him more of himself. Lord, I need you to enlarge my heart. In the next group, in verse number 33, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes. You think about Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, the demoniac at Gadara that was healed by the Lord, sitting at the feet of Jesus. There's nothing better than to sit at the feet of Jesus. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. This is our life. This is our Lord. He is our eternity. Peter said, to whom shall we go? there's no other one to go to. Lord, you're it. I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, verse 34, and I shall keep thy law. Help me to understand, Lord. Help this feeble mind and heart to understand your law, what you have said, your decree. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. I want it all. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments. Make me to do that, for therein do I delight. Guide us, lead us, help us. Help us, Lord, to understand your leadership in our lives. Verse 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Covetousness it is at hand, Lord, and incline my heart unto your witness, your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Not to want another way. Have no other gods before me. And don't put up a graven image. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Honor the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, right? The Lord has given us how we're to be to him. We're to love him with everything. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetous, not to want something else. Keep me from wanting something else, Lord. Keep me from wanting something else other than you. Bend my heart, incline my heart to you. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity. Verse 37, and quicken me in thy way. Make me alive in thy way, in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant. Make it settled. Get me settled in it. Peter, Satan hath desired to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for thee. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter was saved. Peter just wasn't sold out and done with this world and what he reasoned and reckoned and just full out for the Lord. But the Lord brought him there, didn't he? And by the time of the day of Pentecost, he's a bold preacher for the Lord, along with the other brethren, isn't he? Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Quicken me in, rather, 37, turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity and quicken me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Who's the one that we should fear? Well, the one that can deal with the body and the one that can deal with the soul, right? Turn away my reproach, which I fear. No, nobody wants to be reproached, made fun of, scoffed at. That can be a real fear. It is a real fear. But turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. You know, as Stephen was being stoned, wasn't that shameful? Our Lord Jesus was shamefully entreated in the way that he was dealt with and then crucified. But you know what? They look towards our Lord, the scripture says in Hebrews, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He had a vision and an understanding for what was beyond. That's what we need. We need that from the Lord. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. You're at the end of this, Lord. You're at the end of this, and your verdict is true. Your verdict is true. For thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And then the next group, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord. We need the mercy of the Lord. Mentioned that here in the last month or so, what it says in Hebrews, that we can boldly go to the throne of grace to find grace, mercy. Well, let me just read that before as I butcher it. But this has been what this says here has just really been on my mind. It's over here at chapter 4, verse 16. Speaking about our high priest, he understands. He has been touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. For the children of God, we can go there. Mercy and grace for the day. Mercy and grace for the event. Help from our Lord. We, as a children, we belong there. It's what that boldness. Therefore, let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace. We. It's not like, what are you doing here? You got a ticket? We belong there. It's good for us to be there. And we can obtain mercy and we can find grace to help in time of need. Let thy mercies, back in verse 41 of Psalm 119, let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. The promises of the Lord, we're standing on the promises, are we not? We live, we long, we look toward. Our hope is in the promises of our Lord. Verse 42, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me. For I trust in thy word. And there's a fine verse that's put forward to us that we just tell what the Lord says. The Lord says this is right. The Lord says this is wrong. And if you go against what the Lord says, you're defying him. Not me. I agree with him. I agree with the Lord. But you're defying God when you go against him and what he says. Let thy mercies come also unto me, verse 41, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. Let it be there. The Lord said, you're going to be taken and you're going to be arrested and you're going to be brought before the authorities, the religious authorities and the authorities of this world. Don't premeditate about what you're going to say. But I'll give you what to say when it's time for you to speak. Now, indeed, I think we need this good word of God in us. That's the preparation. And that's what we're responsible for. But then when it comes time, Lord, fill me. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments, in your verdicts, Lord. What you say is right, that I may tell that. Verse 44, so shall I keep thy law continually forever. If we obey our Lord, we have no guilt. If we're obedient to him, we have no guilt, no wedge no issue between us and the Lord. And we know that we're not perfect. We're not going to be without sin. We wrestle with it. The old man keeps rising up. We got to pin him down. We got to mortify him. It's a continual battle, continual struggle. He can get out of the way more. It can be worse than well, I tell you what. You just quit coming to services for about 3 months, and I guarantee your old man will get riled up. You lay down the Word of God, and you quit studying and reading and thinking about what God says for about 3 or 4 months, and your old man, the old nature, will just get riled up. Guaranteed you. It'll be. It'll just be that way. And I'm talking about willfully, you know, when you could be near and do so. Some people, sometimes they get ill and they get sick and they can't. But when we will, we need to be in touch. Take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgment. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. That's his desire. And I will walk at liberty. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. There's no greater freedom than what the Lord gives us. And the world says, oh, you're bound to all that religion and all that, obeying what you say is right and what you say the Bible, and you think that that's right and everything. We've been set free. We know what sin is. The one without Christ as Savior is in sin and doesn't even know it. That's bound. That's the worst kind of blindness, is spiritual blindness. To that truth, to the truth. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. You're the bounds of, the mandates of the Lord. I will, verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. What an opportunity. Will you stand before an authority to give an account for the sake of the Lord? Well, what an opportunity to tell the truth for our Lord. If we're not a witness to those round about us, we may not be a witness then. Lord, help us. Lord, help us to understand that. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings. I will not be ashamed. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. There is a thing, and I've known it, and I've known it before I was saved, and I've seen it maybe. I wonder about things in the lives of people. They say that they're saved, and they're fretting continually about everything that's been taken away from them. I had to give up this, and I had to give up that, and I had to give up the other when I was saved. Really? Is that really? I mean, the Lord saved us from our sins. I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up into thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. I want to abide by what you command, Lord. It's the place of blessing. It's the place of goodness and fullness and richness. Verse number 49. Remember the word unto thy servant, upon which thou hast caused me to hope. Remember the word, the promises that you've made, Lord. Is this not speaking about us claiming the promises of the Lord? The Lord has said this. Lord, you've said this, and I desire this for my life. Lord, help me. Work that in me. This is my comfort and my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, made me alive. The proud have had me greatly in derision, yet have I not declined from thy law. Steadfastness and obeying the Lord. We maybe all face times and say, well, what's the use? It's not worth it. It is worth it. It is worth it. This life is, what is it the Apostle Paul says? That the hardship, the trial, the things of this life, they'll just be a memory. They'll be like a vapor. The affliction in this life will just be for a moment compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. And that's a the brother declares that unto us. The Lord gives us that in his word. But that's a promise to us in and of itself. We need to remember that. The proud have had me greatly in derision, verse 51. Yet have I not declined from thy law. I remembered thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. You think about Ezra, if it is indeed Ezra that wrote this psalm. Brother Ezra loaded up from over there in Babylon and the Chaldeans, that land, or well, at that time it'd be the Persians, wasn't it, that had it. And he loaded up and he went over there. He and Nehemiah had the word of God and were the leaders in that. You think about Nehemiah and what he went out and did. I mean, that fellow got riled, didn't he? I mean, he got riled about some of the things that were being done. And from the human standpoint, don't you know they had times that they felt very much alone from the human standpoint? Because they were the ones that were, they were the spearhead. They were the leader. They were the appointed of the Lord to go over there and do that work. And they had continually to be saying, this is what God says. This is what God says. Nehemiah had all kinds of distractions from the inhabitants of the land. He had to stick to what God said. Stick to what God said. They want to try to get him over there and kill him. He had to stick to what God said. Stick to what God said. Stick to what God said. I remember thy judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Horror, verse 53, hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. If the brother was there in Jerusalem and was thinking about all the inhabitants of the land round about them and how maybe they even outnumbered them. And if they could just get their act together, it could really be bad for those that came there from Babylon to do this work, and said, Lord, I got to quit thinking about what they could do if they got together. I need to be thinking about you, what you've promised, what you've directed, what you've told to be done. Because see, the Lord makes a promise. The Lord gives a directive for it. He's going to bring it to pass, isn't he? No matter how weak it looks along the way. No matter how weak. Jeroboam was told, you got 10 tribes. And he got worried that they going down to Jerusalem would go back to Rehoboam. But would they have gone back to Rehoboam? The Lord told him, he said, if you would have obeyed me, I would have established your kingdom. And the Lord gave the directive, take those 10 kingdoms take those 10 tribes and they'll operate the way they've always operated. And they'll go down to Jerusalem when it's time to worship and they'll come home. And he got worried and set up the calves in Bethel and Dan. See that? If God says that's the way it is, that's the way it's going to be, no matter how weak it looks to you and me. If God's declared it. And I think our brother here, horror hath taken hold upon me because of the wicked that forsake thy law. Thy statutes have been my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. I have remembered thy name, O Lord, in the night and have kept thy law. This I had because I kept thy precepts. We're going to stop there for tonight and at verse 56. And Lord willing, we'll pick it up here and continue on. 8 words referring to the Word of God. I think that's what we can focus them all. Every verse saying something about the law or the testimonies or the ways, the precepts, the statutes, the commandments, the judgments, and the Word of the Lord. His witness, what God says is the truth, and the bounds that He has made. His judgments, where He lists the crime and He lists the penalty. The word that He has breathed and that He has spoken, the bounds that He has set and the ordinance and the law that He's established. You know, we need to know what our God says. Hey, He spent, I tell this in the jail, probably need to say it more here too. Our Lord took 40 men tonight. You know, I think there's maybe 20 some of us here tonight. Think about your life. All of your life or a piece of your life being taken by the Lord to, let's say, go through what Jeremiah went through, that it might be written down for the sake of hundreds of thousands, millions, billions, I don't know, of the Lord's children in time to come. The Lord didn't make a robot, and He didn't carve it out on a mountain somewhere, and He didn't put it to where it would be projected in the sky at night, but He used men's lives. He used up men's lives for the sake of bringing us His good word, and He did that with 40 men. So you know, we're 20 some here tonight. Add another 15 to us. And over the course of 1,600 years, used 40 individual men and things in their lives, some of them very difficult and very hard, for the sake of bringing His word so that you and I might know the truth from God down here in our day. It's God's good message from eternity to you and to me. And may we get a hold on that better. May we remember that better and more often. May we, when we know that our Lord has given us the Scripture, the Bible is just not a good book that preachers and pastors need to be familiar with. It's God's good message from eternity to you. You need to know it. Your knowledge of it cannot be put off on somebody else. Put that off and make somebody else responsible for the Word of God to you. You need to know it. You need to know what it says. It's going to stand forever.